CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're going to Boca Chica, Texas, a.k.a. Starbase, to comment on the decision made by the FAA to permit SpaceX to launch Starship from Starbase with caveats, lots of caveats. This is an opinion waited many months, and Bob Zimmerman is here to apprise us of an opinion that has surprising, unfriendly remarks. Bob, a very good evening to you. The part that I thought where I stopped reading was about the wildlife corridors that SpaceX must maintain, which seems strikingly ironic given that this is Texas and everything is a wildlife corridor. However, you have very carefully looked at the whole document. What is the FAA's major objection, minor objection, whole objection? How do we go forward, Bob? Good evening to you.
Well, to summarize what I actually did something I don't think any journalist has done. I read the entire 183-page environmental reassessment, by the way, which was written because when SpaceX was first got its first environmental assessment when it established Boca Chica's facility back about a decade ago, that assessment was done with the assumption Falcon 9s would be launching from Boca Chica. Well, now SpaceX wants to launch Starship. So this environmental reassessment was supposed to take a look specifically at what the differences would be environmentally for Starship launches. So I've read the whole document, and I must put it bluntly, this is an intellectually dishonest document of the highest order. There's no doubt that its fundamental conclusion right at the beginning is the FAA said, quote, SpaceX's planned operations would not result in significant environmental questions. That's the summary. It then went through 13 different areas of concern: air quality, climate, noise, visual effects, public use of parks, water resources, biological resources, I could go on, coastal resources, land use. Each one of those sections, their concluding statement was, and I'll just read one of them because they're all the same. In summary, the proposed action by SpaceX is not expected to result in significant impacts to the environment, to air quality, to climate, to noise, to visual effects, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Every single section except for one found no significant or any impacts at all. The one that did find impacts was cultural resources, but it was basically related to the loud noises of the launches and the vibrations caused. It might damage some old archaeological sites. But even then, they said, the proposed action would not result in significant impacts on historical, archaeological, architectural, or cultural resources. Even there, they said it would not have a significant impact. And yet, despite conclusions that say none of this is going to have an impact, the FAA and the various departments, other departments involved, such as Fish and Wildlife, Interior Department, imposed enormous numbers of requirements on SpaceX to make sure they didn't do anything wrong. And they have to do a lot of stuff. And it's a lot of, some of it's absurd stuff. Some of it might make some sense. But like one of the things that really irritates me is that SpaceX is now required to pay off two different environmental organizations, local organizations, with annual $5,000 donations. To a certain extent, I think that violates the First Amendment. Where does the federal government come off ordering someone to donate to a political organization, even if it's environmental? But that's what the FAA has done here. And so this is, and on top of it all, the report doesn't address the differences between Falcon 9s and Starship at all. Instead, it focuses entirely on trying to determine whether or not they can find a justification for shutting down all launches at Boca Chica. And as I said to you in the last time I was on, this really report suggests that anything SpaceX wants to do at Boca Chica is going to be very difficult and hampered by a distant but very haughty federal government that wants to stop it. That's what the impression I have. And SpaceX clearly indicates that that's what it recognizes that and is beginning to shift operations, I think, to Florida. And I think the public in this region is beginning to recognize this because of the upset victory this past last 2 days of Maya Flores, a Republican candidate in a special election for the congressional seat. She upset the Democrat in a district that's been controlled by Democrats for decades and is 84% Hispanic. And it strikes me, the public's beginning to recognize that this is that the federal bureaucracy, which is basically Democrat and controlled by the Democrats and the Biden administration, is hostile to free enterprise. It's going to choke off their prosperity in Boca Chica if they don't make an action. And that's the impression I have. And this is a very dishonest document on the case of FAA. They basically found there's no impact, and yet they're requiring SpaceX to do lots of stuff. And if it does anything wrong or doesn't follow their orders at any point, it gives itself the right to shut everything down.
Off to Cape Canaveral. Dragon cargo. There's a delay because of a fuel leak. Is it profound, Bob, or is this something that happens?
No, it's not profound, John. They discovered a hydrazine fuel leak. These are very toxic fuel that is used in the attitude controls of the Dragon cargo capsule that was scheduled for launch. That was going to launch about a week ago, June 10th. And they delayed the launch. They wanted to determine where the leak was coming from. They now determined it came from one thruster valve in one of the attitude thrusters in the Dragon capsule. And so SpaceX is now going to remove that specific hardware and replace it ahead of flight, and they rescheduled for July 11th for the flight. Is it profound? Valve leaks like this seem to happen all the time. It's difficult to keep this stuff from not leaking. SpaceX's track record and their policy on how they proceed on this is that they figure out what went wrong in this particular case, and they'll not only replace the valve, I'm sure, that will work, but they're going to go through all their construction, and they will change the valves entirely to make sure this never happens again. That's been their general policy. So that problems like this do not reappear. I wouldn't call it profound. It just means it's a month's delay on the cargo mission.
My favorite mini shuttle, Dream Chaser, developed so far for cargo, but there's a change in the weather. What are they up to, Bob?
This is kind of funny. Sierra Space, which is building its Tenacity Dream Chase cargo vessel to bring cargo up and down from ISS and be reusable, it made an announcement that it's opening up a new training center for astronauts. In other words, if you want to go into space, they will train you to how to do this. And then, almost as an aside in this article, they dropped a much bigger story, which is that they are now in the development process of making a crewed version of Dream Chaser for construction testing in 26 and operational in 27, and it'll be used as part of the Orbital Reef private space station that Sierra Space is building in partnership with Blue Origin and others. I thought this was really strange because the training center is kind of cool, but much more significant is the fact that they are now actually proceeding with building an upgrade. They have not said anything to this effect beforehand. And so we're going to have a manned version of Dream Chaser in the next 5 years or so, John. That's very exciting.
A reminder, Bob, what is OneWeb?
OneWeb is a internet constellation of satellites to provide such service globally. It's a competitor with Starlink. They have slightly different customers, so they don't directly compete with each other most of the time, though they are really in competition with each other. OneWeb has got about two-thirds of its constellation up. SpaceX has probably got about 20% of its constellation up. Both are getting ready to start offering. Both are offering or getting ready to offer services. SpaceX a few weeks ago announced that it is beginning to offer this service on international airplane flights, where you're on a plane and you want to use your laptop and for Wi-Fi, the plane will use Starlink to provide that. And several airline companies signed on. Well, OneWeb is getting in the game. It successfully tested an airplane Wi-Fi router on a 11-hour flight to see if this could work, and they found it did. And so they are hoping to begin offering Wi-Fi service to airplanes sometime in the middle of next year. And I expect airlines will take it on, and then what we have is competition. We'll have two different international constellations offering very fast internet service for airplane flights. This will mean lower costs for the customers and for the airlines, and probably innovation to make the service better to compete. It's very good news, John.
Big astronomy, a feud, E-Rosita, which is a German instrument. This is astronomy. And it is now involved in a feud between not Germany and Russia, between Russia and Russia. Dmitry Rogozin, remind us, Bob, who he is.
Dmitry Rogozin is the loudmouth who is the head of Roscosmos. And Roscosmos in Russia is a giant aerospace corporation that the Putin administration forced the entire aerospace industry into. They don't have competitive industries. It's kind of like the Soviet Union. Their entire aerospace industry is run by Roscosmos, that Rogozin is the head of. And about a week ago, Rogozin had announced, let me even back up further, the E-Rosita instrument, it's a German instrument, is on a space telescope called Spektr-RG. This space telescope was launched by Russia, and it has two instruments. One's a Russian instrument, and one is a German instrument. And it was designed to, in different wavelengths, obtain sky surveys in high energy of astronomy. Well, when Russia invaded the Ukraine, the European Space Agency and Germany shut off its instrument. They said, we can't work with Russia anymore. We're going to not do it anymore. They shut the instrument down, which also limits what the Russian instrument can do. And so a week or two ago, Rogozin announced, we're going to turn that instrument, that German instrument, on anyway, even though we don't own it. I'm ordering my people to do that. Well, we got a feud in Russia because the Russian scientists who work with it, the astronomers, they are, as a unit, refusing to do what Rogozin wants them. They're defying him. They're saying, we won't do it. Let me quote from the head of the Russian Space Research Institute. Our institute, all the scientists categorically object to this. This objection is both political and technical. This is not a Russian device. I can't judge how realistic this whole thing is. I don't know if specialists have processing codes, and even if they have, it will be simply impossible to publish this data. No journal will accept it and will do it right. In other words, the scientists know if they do this, they're just going to get banned anyway. So they don't want to do it. They also may know it might not work. And so there's a battle here between Rogozin and him. Rogozin might still get some engineers to turn this on anyway, which will probably ruin the instrument and the data, but that's Rogozin. He's a loudmouth. What can you say?
June 20th, SLS. This is an important rehearsal. What will they achieve, Bob?
Well, we don't know what they'll achieve, but this is a dress rehearsal test countdown of the SLS rocket. They tried in April to do this. They tried three times. They finally gave up because of a variety of minor technical problems. They rolled the rocket back to the vehicle assembly building where they fixed those problems, they say, and they've rolled it back out to the launch site, and they're hoping on June 20th to do this dress rehearsal countdown. And what it'll do is they will do a full load the rocket completely with fuel, do a complete countdown as if they were going to launch, get to T-minus zero, and then, of course, turn it off. They won't launch. And the idea is they want to do this completely, make sure everything is going the way it should, and then they will roll the vehicle back to the VAB and look it over, and they hope now to launch for its first test flight, now aiming for late August, early September at the very earliest. They admit that might not be the date because they don't know if this dress rehearsal will work perfectly. If it doesn't, they're going to have to look it over again. And so SLS continues to get delayed. It's now more than a decade. It's now 7 years behind schedule, moving towards 8, 9, 10 forever, John. Never launch.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going space exploring next to the surface of the planet Mars. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.